Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, February 6th, to welcome two guests to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Mary Helen and Baylor Frazier. They're a young couple who have joined our church recently, and I can't wait for you to get to know them better at the end of the podcast. But first, they'll read God's Word for us. Thank y'all for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Our first reading is Romans 6:15-23, and I'm reading in the English Standard Version. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The second reading is Psalm 27, and I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an enemy encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with a shout of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Thank you so much, Mary Helen and Baylor, for joining the podcast, for reading so beautifully. You guys are new members and young professionals, so we have a lot to talk about. First, how did you guys meet, and when did you get married?
Yes. Okay. So I went to Samford and Baylor went to Ole Miss, but his little brother, Cooper, went to Samford. And my freshman year roommate actually started dating Cooper, and I was single at the time. I was third wheeling with them all the time. We became really, really good friends. And one weekend, this is super random, but they invited me to go home to Mississippi to meet their whole family, to meet Cooper's whole family. So I went to Mississippi with them, and that's when I met Baylor. And
so wait a minute. Cooper and Baylor are brothers.
Yes.
And Baylor just happens to be home, or?
Yes. It was like December of I guess, your junior year of college, and he just happened to be home that weekend, and we ran into each other.
So was it like love at first sight?
No, not at all. It took him probably 6 months to actually convince me to go out with him, but We texted and, you know, talked and flirted a bunch over those 6 months. And so we dated for 4 years. All four of those years were long distance. So he was, you know, in Oxford, I was in Birmingham. Then he moved to Atlanta and I was in Birmingham and I moved back to Tennessee. So we were kind of all over the place. But we dated for 4 years and then got engaged in November of 2024 and got married in May of 2025.
Now, Baylor, do you want to pipe in here or do you want to talk more about like how you guys landed in Birmingham and where you both work?
Yeah, absolutely. So like she said, I was all over the place and her graduation weekend, actually her and Cooper's graduation weekend, they were talking about how they wanted to do their master's and I didn't really have anything going on at the time. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to move to Birmingham. And I knew I wanted to propose to her. I knew I wanted to marry her, but I couldn't really do that long distance. So I took the first job that I could find in Birmingham, not currently doing that anymore, but it was a good stepping stone just to get me here. And then Mary Helen, you know, obviously she already had a job in Birmingham. Like she was working, starting to do her master's. And yeah, so I ended up moving here and proposing not long after. And here we are. So.
And where do you work currently?
I currently work for Yellowhammer News. I do sales and marketing for them.
I feel like your job is really fun. Is that true?
It's
at times.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of video and a lot of articles. I get to, you know, meet a lot of the lawmakers and legislation for Alabama. You know, we just had an event this week where we got to go and talk about all the policies and got to be in a room with a lot of lobbyists. And it's a lot of fun, you know, especially being from Mississippi, who when I lived in Mississippi, if you were to ask me who my senator was, I would have had no idea. But now it's just a funny turn of the tables. And now I quite literally work.
Now,
and,
you know,
in the yeah. So like, if you were to ask me anything, I was like, yeah, I got you.
But you also do some work for Pizzitz. I heard about this over Christmas.
Yes. So with Yellowhammer, we kind of opened up a different marketing branch of it. And the people who own the Pizzitz currently own the building we work in. So I just went downstairs. I was like, hey, heard y'all need marketing. Can I pitch you, propose to you? And then we ended up getting the contract. And yeah, so we're trying to revive downtown Pizzitz. A lot of people thought it was closed after COVID. One of the efforts in which to kind of bring some energy back into the building was we took the cutout of Buddy the Elf from the movie Elf and put a bunch of political figures on them. So for one was Nick Saban, James Spann, and Mayor Woodfin. So we put them all around the Pizzitz, took a photo op with them, kind of introduced them kind of from that reality show Love Island, like made it seem like the new bombshells were entering the Pizzitz.
And if people want to see these, can they still see them online, on Instagram?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you go to the Pizzitz on Instagram, you can see the pictures of them. We've already talked about putting them up again next year for Christmas. So I think they're going to become a reoccurring character on the Pizzitz.
All right, Mary Helen, I want to hear more about your work.
Yeah, so I'm an account manager at a commercial insurance firm here in town, Gallagher, and I basically just help insure senior living facilities and hospitals all around the country.
As we mentioned earlier, you guys are getting your MBA. What do you enjoy about that program?
The biggest thing that I really enjoy about the master's program at Samford is that you get to meet people from all different kind of walks of life who are all coming back to get their master's. Like me personally, I graduated from Ole Miss in 22. And then I took a 2-year gap and worked. And then I came back to school. And, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to be such an old head in these classes. But then next to me, there's a guy in his 40s who just wants to come back and get his master's. And, you know, developing relationships with those kind of people, you're like, you know, I want to learn more about what you've been through. Like, I thought I was going to be the old head. You're the old head. No offense, but like, you are. So, like, tell me what brought you back here and everything. And then there's people who are fresh out of their undergrad and wanted to do their master's and kind of see, like, you know, how was college for you? Like, they all didn't go to Samford, but somehow they landed in Birmingham, Alabama. People from New York, people from California, like, people from all different walks of life somehow landed in Birmingham, Alabama at the same time we were there. So, like, I want to hear your stories. Tell me more.
Speaking of landing places, you guys have landed at Mountain Brook Baptist, and we're so grateful. How did you find your way to our church?
Yes, we're so thankful to be members. So I, like I said, went to Samford and have been in the Birmingham area for almost 6 years now. And when I was at Samford, I never really found a church home. I would kind of church hop with friends and went places that were close to campus. But before Baylor and I got married, we bought a little townhouse over by Cherokee Bend Elementary School, and I was living there, and my mom was in and out, and a few weekends, we came to Mountain Brook Baptist, actually when the services were held in the gym, which yes. was so fun, but even though it was held in the gym, we found that it was so welcoming, and we thought that it would be a good fit. And a few weeks later, I brought Baylor back, and he confirmed that it would be a good fit. So we came in and out kind of the whole summer that we were that we got married and had a bunch of different weddings, and then finally joined in November.
And I'm really excited because you guys are going to help with our new young couples class, yes. Meaning you're going to come and be there and try to support. We have several mentor couples who are going to lead that class, and we're starting on February 8th for that. So that's just a little shameless plug. Yes. We'll be meeting in room 250. And if you have questions about the new young couples class, let me know.
We're so excited.
You have really jumped into the fellowship. I've been so impressed as I watch you. What are some things that you enjoy about being at Mountain Brook Baptist?
So kind of like what Mary Helen mentioned, we kind of church hopped in the beginning. And then when I came, it was one of the last services that I believe was actually in the gym. And then I think it was the third one that I come to really like, you know, this is the one we kind of want to do. Mark Rector, I think he just immediately recognized that like, y'all are new. And he pulled us in and immediately got us plugged into a small group. Let us kind of feel it out and meet new people. And I think that is what spoke volumes to me the most, is that everybody's so close-knit enough to realize you are not regular here. I know everybody else. I don't know you. And then to make the conscious effort to come out and be like, can I help you? And let me direct you in the right path. I think we really just enjoy the fact that like every time we walk into a new room, someone is willing to be like, I don't know you. I want to meet you. Tell me more about you. And then continue to take that relationship and say, hey, I know somebody else who you should meet. And then will you come meet them? And it kind of just expands our, I mean, personally, like being from Mississippi, her from Tennessee, she went to Sanford here. I did not. And me locating here, I was like, I didn't know anybody. I knew Mary Helen. And when we got married, it was great. Cause like I just hung out with her all the time. That was perfect. But now like getting to meet new people, new men, you know, just guys who have kind of already poured into me, even in the short conversations we've had, I think we really just really enjoy the fellowship that's here at Mountain Brook Baptist.
On this podcast, I love to delve into how you came to faith and what your journey with the Lord has been like. Mary Helen, will you start?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in a Christian home, and I accepted Christ as my Savior at a young age. I think I was 5 or 6. But I like to say that my relationship with the Lord has been anything but linear. I think that, you know, I've continued to go to church and continued to learn more about Jesus over my childhood, but things radically changed, I would say, as a 17-year-old. I went to a church camp at the beach, and I rededicated my life to Christ and was baptized in the ocean at 17. That was kind of the first time that I was like, okay, Lord, it's your will, it's not my will. I like to be in control, and I like to know plans and know what comes next. So that was a big radical life change then. And I feel like I had a really great group of friends in college that I still have that continue to push me closer to him.
And Baylor, tell us a little bit about your faith.
Yeah, much like Mary Helen, I grew up in a Christian home, went to church on Sundays, went to youth group on Wednesdays. And then I was originally Presbyterian, which I was sprinkled as a baby. But I didn't actually make the decision to be baptized until joining Mountain Brook Baptist. It was kind of my first adult decision in my walk with Christ to say, like, you know what, like, this is something that I want to do, in which I got baptized. Kind of like Mary Helen, also, like, my walk with Christ has been very sporadic. There's moments where I've been full tilt, gas on the pedal, like, all for the Lord. Then there was moments where I didn't even think or speak to the God for months. And those were primarily in college. You know, it was my first taste of freedom. I was not making God a priority. I was focused on classes. I was focused on friends. I was focused on everything else that I'm involved in college. And eventually, you know, meeting Mary Helen, I knew that the man that was going to marry her was going to be the man that went to church every Sunday and was really plugged in. So she got me, honestly, especially in Birmingham, got me going to church again and really making it a more priority. And here we are now. So
do you guys have favorite worship songs or verses in the Bible that you come back to often?
Yes. So mine, I would say, is Philippians 4:6-7. It says, do not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think that's just such a great reminder in the day-to-day to go to Christ for everything. And I would say my all-time favorite song is In Christ Alone, but there is this medley that, shameless plug, you have to go listen to it. It's by Travis Cottrell, and it's with In Christ Alone and The Solid Rock, and it is the best song in the entire world.
I'll have to go listen.
Yes.
Yeah, and mine is Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Which is funny enough, kind of with today's reading, with Psalm 27, kind of the same idea. And then my favorite hymn, actually, old school Presbyterian, you know, is Great is Thy Faithfulness.
That's a good one. Who have been some people in your lives that have impacted your spiritual walk? You kind of already mentioned, Baylor, that Mary Helen impacted yours. What about you, Mary Helen?
Yeah, I would say my parents are the most impactful to me in my walk with the Lord. And I didn't really realize this until the last few years, but I think being able to watch them put so much faith and trust in the Lord over my entire life in so many different, you know, situations and so many different seasons of life, and trials and happy times. I think being able to look back on all that time and see how steadfast my parents were in their faith is the most impactful to me.
Have you guys sensed the Lord's nearness in a difficult time?
The earliest one I can remember and the one that still impacts me to today is when my grandfather passed away, my mom's dad. He had cancer. He was in the hospital for a while, and I was young. I mean, not even, I think maybe 11. And there was a moment where I'd been back home with my grandmother, being with her while he was in the hospital, and we got the call to come to the hospital that he was dying. And we were rushing to the hospital. We were, you know, it was being that young, I kind of knew what was going on, but I was like, what's happening? And we get to the hospital, and when we get there, the nurses kind of met us and said, like, we don't know how he's still alive, pretty much. And we walk through the door, and he opens his eyes for the first time in days and looks at her, his wife, and smiles, and then passes away, like 10 seconds, all in all. And originally, my original thought was, how could a God let a man who loved him so much die like that? But then later on, it came to me that that's not the way I should be looking at this. It's that this is a God that allowed my grandfather one more time to see his wife before he crossed on. He was willing to give him an extra, you know, 20 minutes for us to drive there to say, like, I'll give you that time. So my opinion, like, it changed dramatically. And I just feel confident in that, that, like, it's a God that he will let you have what you need. But he's not going to wait forever, but he's going to let you have that last moment. So
I don't have any radical life-changing event, but I will say my freshman year of college, my family faced a few months of just uncertainty and craziness. My dad was diagnosed with cancer, and then a few weeks later, my sister had an accident where she was a pedestrian and was struck by a car. And it was also in the middle of my first few weeks of college and where, you know, everything is unknown and you're a little bit scared, missing home, and just a lot of craziness at one point in time. And that, I say that, you know, I had a radical life change as a 17-year-old, but I feel like this really was where I had to be like, okay, Lord, I'm giving you 100%. I have no control over any of this. And I just had to take all of my feelings and all of my control and give it to the Lord. Whereas growing up, I would have gone to my parents and complained to things. I was taking all of those complaints and frustrations and doubts to the Lord. And he was so comforting in that time. And we're so blessed that, you know, both my sister and my dad made a full recovery from all of that. But I think that feeling the Lord's nearness in that, I can always go back to that and remember how kind he was to us in that season. So
would you guys like to make any commentary on one of the passages?
Yes, I do just want to mention this. I think it's really cool. So like we mentioned, we're taking night classes at Sanford right now, getting our MBA, and we're taking this one class called Managing Corporate Integrity that, if I'm being totally honest, we thought would be an easy class, and it's turned out to be quite the opposite. But one of our readings this week for that class was actually Romans 6, 15 through 23, which is such a cool God coincidence. Obviously, he's trying to teach us something in those verses this week. But yeah, I just think it's really such a great reminder how wonderful the grace of God is. I feel like that's kind of a common theme of what we've been talking about. He's so merciful and so gracious to us, and how we're not to take advantage of that. So what a blessing it is that we don't have to be slaves to sin and that we can be slaves of righteousness. I just think it's an encouraging and challenging passage for all of us as followers of Christ.
So, okay, wait a minute. How did your professor link the verses with corporate integrity?
So the previous week, we went through Genesis 1 through 3, and we talked about the fall and how we eventually fell from God's grace. We became sinners in this world. And then tying it into this passage, it says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to the righteousness." We are all sinners. And I think we have to really realize that when looking upon other people. And I'll be the first one to say, like, I am the first person to judge when someone walks in a room I don't know. I mean, based off physical appearance, based off of clothes, I do that. And it's not good. It's not the way I want to be. But I have to look at this person as well and say, like, well, who am I to judge them? For I am also a sinner. And they are a sinner. And God put one perfect person on this world to die for that sin. And that was Jesus Christ. In order to pay for the original sin with Adam and Eve, like, it had to be a perfect person. You cannot sacrifice another sinner in that stead in order for us to be purified and loved again. It was strictly a perfect body that had to be sacrificed, which, like I said, was Jesus Christ.
Thank you guys so much for joining the podcast. I have so enjoyed our conversation together and look forward to more time getting to know you in the days ahead. Baylor, would you end our time together with prayer?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Dear Lord, thank you for being our light and our salvation. When fear shows up, remind us that you are our strength and we don't have to be afraid. Help us seek you first and trust you even when we don't see what's next. Thank you for the grace you've given us through Jesus. Help us live like people who have been set free, not going back to sin, but walking in obedience that leads into real life. We put our hope in you today. We trust you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.